My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
And welcome in to, I guess, what could be sort of called an emergency edition, because I don't think we were planning on doing this, of Judd's Hockey Show. Zolgad and Declan Goff, as always. And we have called this meeting of JHS to order, not because of the Wild's horrendously boring game against the Anaheim Ducks on Friday night. That was a snooze fest, and it was an ugly game. But rather to talk about something we teased after the Vegas Golden Knights Wild game on Wednesday, and I thought we'd get to it early next week, but I don't think it can wait now. That is the status of what's going on with Zach Parise, which there seems to be some confusion in the fan base about. Scratched last night, a healthy scratch for the second time in his Wild career and the second time this season. Now, we are recording this before the Wild plays the Ducks. Oh, I can't wait for that in their home regular season finale tonight. And it's already been revealed that Zach Parise will be scratched. Here's the situation, and then we'll get into what this means.
Okay.
So Kevin Fiala was out on Wednesday because of an injury that was not expected to sideline him for long. I think Doogie said it was a hip, right? Is that right, Dax?
I think that was correct, yeah.
Okay. So sure enough, he was held out just as a precaution, which is fine, on Wednesday. He came back and played on Friday. That opened up, or that created a situation where there was going to be a 13th forward. Now, Nick Bjugstad, who had been hurt earlier in the season a few weeks back, I think he went four games with being scratched where he was healthy enough to return, but he was the 13th forward in that case. Well, before last night's game, and it sounds like it was talked about after the morning skate, they decided that Zach Parise, who had played the fewest minutes of anybody on either team against the Golden Knights on Wednesday, was going to be the healthy scratch. Now, here's the difference between healthy scratch one and two, and it's a very important thing. Healthy scratch one came March 3rd in Vegas after Zach had, if you recall, stayed on the ice too long, overextended a shift, claiming he wanted to help Marcus Foligno get an empty net hat trick. And Zach stayed out there. Everybody else on Zach's line, including Foligno, who was after the hat trick, got off the ice. The Golden Knights, as Zach sort of trailed back into the play, scored the tying goal and then ultimately won in OT. The Wild was not pleased. I don't blame them. Zach tried to explain it, and I really don't care. I think they made the exact right move on March 3rd by saying, if you're going to do that, you're not good enough to do that, and it's a selfish move. And that's very old school Wild. You are scratched. So that scratch was a message. That was not a, you just stink. It was a, we're going to send you a message. And that was self-explanatory. This one is a, you're not good enough to play. Do I think that there's more behind it? Absolutely. Do I think that there's things that we're not being told? For sure. Nonetheless, at the end of the day, Declan, the most important thing to keep in mind is on Wednesday, when I think he played something like 720, or I mean some ridiculously low amount of time, having been banished to the fourth line, and then being scratched on Friday. These are flat-out statements of, you are not good enough to dress, in our opinion. And that's where this is going to get, as the playoffs near now, three games left, very, very interesting, because the ultimate message last night was, and then it's being sent again tonight, if things stay the same, and they might not, they might change even more, Zach Parise is not in the Wild's playoff plans.
No, it's not looking like it right now. I mean, look, I understood when he got scratched the first time, as we explained, with the overextending his shift, trying to get Marcus Foligno a hat trick. It was just a really goofy and dumb situation. Now, after, and you and I were at the game against Vegas on Wednesday, or Thursday, excuse me, which I forget my days mixed up here, but you and I both noticed, like, he's not playing. Like, he's barely on the ice at all. And the minutes added up there. And then obviously now he's not good enough to even be in the lineup, Judd. And I think you're right. If this trend continues, well, then you don't even need him in the postseason. And I understand Fiala to come back in the lineup, and you know they can possibly still scratch someone else if they want to get another spark or another body, or even like get Matthew Boldy somehow in that lineup, who's having a good start in Iowa. But right now, like, we actually are seeing the final days of Zach Parise in a Minnesota Wild uniform. I know we were kind of coming to that conclusion even before this news came down with a scratch. We kind of thought, you know what, the writing's on the wall here. He's almost traded a year ago. But now, Judd, I really think we're seeing the end of this era. Like, he's as good as gone.
Yeah,
he's as good as gone.
My only question is, if this continues, and it very well looks like it will he come out and speak? Because, I mean, this guy's got a lot of pride. I'm sure the team is hoping he doesn't. That being said, I wouldn't count on that, Zach sure. being Zach. And so, yeah, this is either you're going to have to reach an agreement to buy him out, trade him if somebody will take the contract and you pay part of the contract. I don't know how this works, but you're right. I would like to address, and I have not seen this a lot, but I've gotten two or three tweets about this, and I'd like to address it quickly. Some people are holding out hope, I guess, that he's being rested. He's not being rested. This has nothing to do with rest. This has to do with we think, and by the way, it starts with Bill. So it starts, it's Guerin, Evason, and decision. It's not head coach goes to Bill and says, I'm scratching him. This is clear. What this is very clearly is a message that the Wild thinks they're going to play or is going to play Colorado or the Golden Knights. They're going to play one of those two teams.
Yep.
Colorado's incredibly fast. The Golden Knights are fast. They're skilled. The Avs might be the most skilled team in this league. What they are saying, and they are probably right, and now you can get into other players that you might think also fit into this, and that's a fair debate, but it probably involves their position. Mm-hmm. Zach Parise, in no way, shape, or form, is built for this guy right now, 36,
yep.
is in no way built for a playoff series against high-flying teams. And Dex, you actually, I thought, hit on the best point as we watched the game against the Golden Knights on Wednesday. That play through the neutral zone where Zach was chugging along, and he literally chugs now. He's like a and you said, oh my God, he can't do it. Like, it just
can't
lost.
Move. Yeah.
He can't move. That's the style of play that we're going to be looking at in a playoff series. And I think that's what they see. And rightfully so. There's basically nothing to contribute there. Mm-hmm. Maybe against the Blues, because it's probably a little bit slower. But yeah, I think that this is just a sign one that they don't see him being a contributor in any way, shape, or form in a playoff series like that. And I think sign two is, and this is the stuff that we don't know, but I think if you put the pieces of the puzzle together, you have to come to the conclusion. I think the second part of this is that Bill Guerin wants to send a message as strong as possible that this is it.
Yep.
Like, he just has no interest in having Zach Parise trying to invoke his no move clause, which, you know, to go back to the trade that they almost made a year ago, March, he was going to waive. So I don't know that is even an issue at this point, but this is really a sign from the franchise to him that you're done here.
Yeah. Just looking at his minutes played pre-scratch, the first one, and now, and his minutes played after that scratching that happened on March 3rd. So it's been almost 2 months. So in 19 games before that first scratching, Zach played he played 16 and a half minutes a night, which is a good amount. That's a second line player. He's playing a good amount of points, a good amount of time, but only had 9 points, 3 goals in those 16 games. Since that scratching, he's played 25 games and his minutes has been reduced to 11 and a half a night. So, I mean, his minutes have been cut down. He can't keep up. He can't score. And by the way, with the way the Wild have been playing, and I know, you know, we could sing the praises of Kirill Kaprizov for as long as we want right now, but this team's winning and is chugging along and is building something just fine without him. And look, Zach Parise is one of the best you could make a case. He might be the best hockey player from Minnesota. He's a decorated player. He's a Hall of Famer. And when he and Ryan Suter signed here in the summer of 2012, it changed things up here in the state of hockey. And he scored some big time postseason goals. But it's time to admit that this has run its course. Mm-hmm. Ryan Suter is a player who I think his game Ryan Suter will tail off. It will happen someday. But his game is able to do that. Like he has a long. Right. His game isn't going to fall off a cliff like Zach has yes. in the last few years. And everyone has kind of said, too, like just the way Zach Parise has played when he was in his prime, you knew his game wouldn't be built to be playing into his late 30s. Like Ryan Suter's game is able, and he's willing and able to play into his late 30s. Right now, Zach Parise can't keep up in the NHL right now, and his style just isn't working. It just and this is it, Judd. I mean, yeah, I think we'll probably see him again in a regular season game, of course.
Yep.
But this is... You have to make a tougher decision in the postseason. Yeah, that's I think the next question.
But I think they're preparing mm-hmm. us and him for that. I don't think it's tough. Here's what I like about the decision, not from the perspective of Zach. Here's what I like about the decision from an organizational perspective, and it goes along with Koivu being gone. They aren't afraid, and I forget if I said this about the Wild a while back or it was the Twins. I said their problem is that they are afraid to hurt feelings, and you can't be afraid if you're going to win championships or contend for them. You can't be afraid to hurt feelings, and that includes guys, teammates. That, and I'm not saying alienate them, but everything that you just said, Declan, is exactly right. And look, I mean, it didn't take a genius to look at Zach's back problems, to look at his style, to look at how he went into corners and played, and to say that this guy has a shelf life at some point, and it's there. And if you think about, Dex, how the Wild played its game for a long time, because, I mean, Zach has always been a hardworking, I would call him in his prime a hardworking star. The fact that he worked so hard made him a star, but he was definitely skilled. But if you go to the last few years, and you know, it was Miko and Zach and that and Stahl chugging along, and that's literally how they skated. They chugged along, and you look at guys now like Sturm and Kaprizov, and watch them skate and their explosiveness. Now, I will say this, and I can't fully explain it, so don't dump on us about this. Okay, this is not our fault. Well, and you too, because we're going to get this as soon as this gets posted. Victor Rask, I don't understand it. Like, but he plays a different position. That's important too, okay? But we're immediately, the Parisi stands are going to come back and be like, well, explain Rask then. I can't. Like, I can't explain it. I can't explain the seeming fascination with Victor Rask playing a ton. I guess that as a center, they feel he has to play because they don't have depth there. And then people will come back and say, well, Bukestad shouldn't play. I think Bukestad playing above Parisi is a message. I think it's a message that this is, because I mean, Nick Bukestad is not a describable player. Like, he could be gone next year. And aside from his family and a few golfer fans, if he's with the Ducks, no one will care. I think that part of this is a message. And I think that message, which this team and Bill Guerin are not afraid to send, is your time's done here. You know, I mean, I'm sure Koivu said, can I come back for a year? And Bill Guerin said no.
Yep.
But the Rask thing, I'm not sure if you'd like to comment on it.
I won't.
But the Rask thing, I can't explain. So don't come back at me on Rask, because I probably agree with you, the listener. If you are a Parisi stand and are going to throw that back in my face, I would probably do the same thing. And I'm willing to bet that there are some people on this team who are curious about 11 being scratched and 49 being treated like he's a completely legitimate player. I mean, my God, he fell down. He scored a goal last night that was a Kaprizov special. But did you see the highlight of the Ducks goal where he just lost an edge and fell down? And I mean,
he can't keep up.
Yeah. I can't explain.
So I get that. Both things can be true. Both things are correct. That if you're going to scratch Zach Parise and hold him accountable just because he isn't doing anything, then why don't you scratch Victor Rask? And Rask is basically playing right now because of his position. He's a center. I don't think that that should automatically mean he should dress every single night, but that is why he's playing. He's a center, and he can win some faceoffs, and he's somewhat passable being on the power play. What I would do, Judge Zolcad, what I would do here, if you're going to scratch Zach Parise, and I also can figure out a way to get Matthew Boldy into the lineup. So this is exactly what I would do. I would scratch Victor Rask. Okay, I'd put Nico Sturm up to that line with Fiala and Johansson, which actually I kind of intrigued by. Fiala, Sturm, Johansson. There's some skating there. There's some speed there. I'd actually be kind of curious how that would work. So that obviously with Rask going out, Sturm moving up, then I can also get Matthew Boldy in. Now, Boldy probably shouldn't be playing fourth line minutes with Bukestad and Nick Bonino necessarily. I understand you probably want to elevate him and give him the best opportunity to succeed. But also, Matthew Boldy playing on the fourth line or even just rolling these four lines right down the middle, I can see that being something you want to explore, especially in these last few games before the playoffs start. Like, if you're going to scratch Zach, then call up Matthew Boldy and see what he can absolutely do. You absolutely should.
I think you just hit it, and I have no inside knowledge about that at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think Boldy is coming up for the playoffs. 100%. I'm convinced of that. I don't think Parisi is forward 13. I think he is forward 14. I think Eukstedt's forward 13. I think they both probably get scratched. I think Boldy, look, players worse than him. And I mean, this kid looks to be damn good, right? Players worse than Boldy have been allowed to make their debut in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. The way that he's playing and what he's doing, it might not be the right term to call it a rope-a-dope by Guerin and the Wild, but I think this is a definite, there's been a plan here for a while to start to go in this direction. And I think they're preparing everybody for the fact that Parisi's going to be scratched, because barring injury, he will be, and Bjugstedt might be too. And let me give you this.
Okay.
So I think in Everson and Guerin's world, what I would consider the Wild's top two lines in air quotes are set. I think the Ek, Foligno, Greenway line is staying put. They love that line. That okay. Yeah. So I don't think they're going to screw with that line one bit. And there are elements to that line that to me scream playoffs. Scream playoff success.
Absolutely.
I think Hartman, who is better than Rask, he's not ideal, but he's better than Rask.
He's a good player.
I think Hartman stays with Kaprizov, Zuccarello. So that's technically, in my opinion, line one. Now, Ek is superior to Hartman, but I think those top six, okay, I think they're set, ideally. Line three last night was Rask, Bonino, with basically the strong side guy taking faceoffs, okay? So it was Rask, Bonino, Johansson. So to what you're saying, what if that becomes Bonino, Boldy, Johansson?
So you'd put Boldy in the middle? You put Boldy at center?
No, Bonino at center.
Yes.
Bonino can play center.
Yep.
But what I'm saying is Johansson's got some speed and skill. Mm-hmm. He's also a potential scratch. If they like Rask so much that I wouldn't put it past. What I'm saying is I think you hit it. I don't think you bring up Boldy to be a fourth line guy.
No.
But I think you do bring him up to be a bottom six guy initially on line three.
Yeah.
And then let's just play this out briefly. Let's say that they did go Bonino, Johansson, Boldy. Then in their world. So this is, I think, how they're thinking, not us. Sturm, Rask, which I don't love, but I think they'll play Rask. And for instance, Bjugstedt. So essentially, you'd be bumping whom out here? Oh, I missed one guy. I'm sorry. I missed Fiala. So Bjugstedt's out. Fiala bumps up to... So it would be Boldy, Fiala, and either Bonino or Rask. And it might be Rask, actually.
I'm very intrigued by the idea.
I'm sorry, I goofed that up. But yeah, so that would be line three. And then line four would be a Sturm Johansson combination of sorts.
I love the idea of Kevin Fiala and Matthew Boldy playing with one another. I think those two could create some real magic on the ice. That'd be a lot of fun to see. But at this point, Bjugstedt's an extra guy, and you have the luxury in having Nick Bonino, who's playing wing right now, but like Nick Bonino can play fourth line center. In fact, Nick Bonino has primarily been a center in his career, but
he could play, he could go back to wing with Sturm as well, and then Johansson on that line. So the fourth line could be Sturm, Bonino, Johansson. So now Bjugstedt and Parisi are both out.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's absolutely possible. And you're playing the Ducks here. You know, you got a couple more games against the Blues. And again, you're still fighting for possible home ice advantage. I think it's going to be slipping away from you with each passing day here. At the same time, this is a perfect time to get Boldy up. And if you're going to send a message to Zach Parisi and do this, this is then the perfect time to then give Matthew Boldy a look. 100%.
Yeah. I don't know. You know what? But that's what's intriguing about this. I don't know that we're going to see him until game one of the playoffs. I could see them doing that. I mean, it seems to be tracking that way. It seems to be tracking, and unless they called him up for the two games in St. Louis, because he's not obviously being called up for tonight's game against the Ducks. So there's two games left on Wednesday and Thursday. Unless they did that, but I think that there's a very good chance that the third line is somebody in between Boldy, Fiala, because then that third line feels more like line 2.5.
Yeah,
with that skill, that's line 2.5.
Right, I mean, theoretically, starting next season, I would like to see a line with Kevin Fiala and Matthew Boldy on it. You know, and hopefully new center acquired via trade or free agency that you find this summer. That'd honestly be a lot of fun. And look, Kirill Kaprizov just can't stop scoring goals. I mean, my God, Judd, we could go on another complete soapbox on how damn good the kid is. But this is shocking. They're scratching Zach Parise, it shouldn't say shocking, but I'm applauding it. Honestly, I'm applauding that they're actually holding him accountable, not just for, you know, doing something stupid, trying to extend a shift and get a teammate a meaningless hat trick, but saying you are simply not good enough to be in our roster every night. And I love that.
The message.
I love that.
That is the definite message right now is very simple. You don't belong, which is now going to lead to, okay, then what's the divorce like? Because he's not coming back. I don't care if he's got time left on that contract. This is the nuclear option. Like, this is it. This is we're either going to trade you, which might be damn tough, buy you out, which I think is very possible, but this brings an end. This is going to bring an end more and more to any semblance of the 2012 on one and done, maybe second round Wild teams, right? Yep. Like this is the mark of, and as much as Dean might fight it, and as much as hockey people might fight it, I mean, this year is the year that we will always look back on and say it was the year that Kirill started.
Yeah.
Like that's
the next era.
Like you could tell me everybody else is contributing. I mean, every night Dean's just desperately trying to talk about what other people, and like last night he was, you know, Kirill didn't have a great game and he still made some great plays. And Dean was trying to say, well, he made mistakes too. And I'm like, no, Dean, just tell the truth. This guy's your team, which is awesome. It's great to watch. But yeah. So I do think though that if Boldy comes up, I think the scratching of Parise gets even easier to understand. And I just want to be very clear before we wrap up. Don't ask me about Rask. I can't answer it. I just can't.
I know,
I can't answer it. It's the one. I can ordinarily do pretty good deduction of what teams are thinking. And if I agree or not, I can't tell you what they're thinking.
Yeah,
Rask.
And I hear it. I completely hear that. Look, if you're going to scratch Zach Parise, then you need to scratch Victor Rask, because Victor Rask is even worse right now. So I get it. I hear it. But this is good. We are turning, like you said, the new era of Wild hockey started this season with Kirill Kaprizov, and it is now passing of the torch from the Parise Suter Koivu era to the Kirill Kaprizov and Kevin Fiala era. I had to throw it in.
No, it's fine. It's fine. All right. Thanks for watching. If you watched, thanks for listening. If you tuned into the podcast, we're done. Declan?
Pass, shoot, score.